This evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, we are going to discuss an organization that I bet you never heard of. It's called the Fay Foundation. And we have two young people here, plus an older person who is going to tell us all about the Fay Foundation. The older person just gave me a dirty look because I said older. There are other words I could use, viejito. His name is Álvaro Díaz. In fact, Álvaro Antonio Díaz Sierra. He spent most of his professional career making up long names for... No, that's not in the script. In international business development, concentrating in the areas of sales and marketing of industrial products, particularly processing equipment and specialty chemicals. He has extensive experience in global sales management, working for companies serving a variety of industries, such as automotive paints, metals, heat treatment, mining transportation, and water treatment. My goodness, what a list. I've known Álvaro. When did you come to the Lehigh Valley?
Precisely?
Yes. Well, the year?
1982.
All right. And I'm here since 1970. So from 82 until now,
that
we have
correct.
Known each other.
Yes, indeed.
Until recently, Álvaro was a consultant to the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, where he created and directed the International Business Council. He is founder of the Fay Foundation of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of the Lehigh Valley, of which he is currently president. So you're president of the Fay Foundation.
That is correct.
All right. He's a Fulbright scholar from Universidad del Atlántico, Colombia. He holds a BS in chemical engineering and an MS in industrial engineering from the University of Rhode Island. Wow, how did you get from Colombia to Rhode Island?
It's a long way.
I bet you flew most of the way.
I did, yes, indeed.
Did you go directly to Rhode Island when you came to the U.S.?
No, I was assigned to a program for English to polish my English language at Stanford University in the summer of 69.
And so from California then?
I went to, as they say, back east. I came to New England, to the University of Rhode Island.
Yeah. And because, did you have a good scholarship there, or why would you particularly go to Rhode Island?
Because I had a good scholarship, and I wanted to be in the East Coast. And they had a great program on the areas that I wanted to pursue.
Okay. So you didn't want to stay on the Pacific side?
Well, yes, but it was not, it didn't happen.
Circumstances were otherwise.
Right.
Now, here's the impressive part about Álvaro Díaz. He's very active in community and civic affairs, serving on as a member of the board of directors of the Allentown Symphony, the Hispanic American Organization, Roberto Clemente Charter School, Community Music School, Good Shepherd Rehabilitation Hospital, and the Da Vinci Science Center. Álvaro, I don't know if you got to spend any time at home with all these activities.
Well, let me clarify that I have been a member of those organizations. Presently, I'm not of all of them that you have mentioned.
Yeah, not at the same time. Serially, it's quite an impressive list. And he has two daughters. Let's give a shout-out, shall we, to Maribel.
Certainly.
And also to Emmy Lou. And they are in different parts of the country now. You have...
Correct. Maribel is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She is a psychologist and works as a director of training at the Counseling Center at the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Emmy Lou is a script writer. She lives in Los Angeles. She's a Parkland. Both of them are Parkland graduates.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So they preceded Carla at Parkland.
Yes.
All right. Right. And I want to introduce our other guests this evening right now, too. Oh, before we do that, Álvaro, let's give a shout-out to your dear wife, Ari. And the only problem I have with, I've always known her as Ari, did not know until recently it's really Arinda.
That's correct.
What a beautiful name, and it turned into Ari.
Yes.
Not right about
that.
Yes. So, Arinda, saludos. We have with us now Carla
Yeah.
And Maximo.
Yes.
Carla is from Carla Quintanilla. I just love
Correct.
Saying that name.
Huh? Thank you.
Carla Quintanilla. And Carla with a K. How did that happen? This is not Espanol, huh? The letter K is...
Yeah, you want to make it more special because it's usually with a C, so we wanted to spike it up.
They knew from birth you were special, didn't they? All right, I got it. And she was a student at Park... Well, you're still a student at Park.
I am. I will be going into my senior year.
Okay. And Maximo de la Cruz...
Yes, sir.
Was a student at DIRF.
Yes.
And now you're looking forward to what?
My freshman year at Princeton.
Uh-huh. What do you think you're going to do at Princeton? What major? Do you have any idea?
I'm leaning towards economics.
Economics. All right. And we're going to talk about economics in a way here when we talk about the Fay Foundation. So first of all, let's get Alvaro Diaz to tell us a little bit about how this all began. How did the Fay Foundation get going? By the way, Fay is F-E. It's the chemical symbol for for what?
Oh my goodness! I
this is a test.
Isn't it iron?
It's
I
iron.
I think it's iron, right?
So this could be the Iron Foundation, and it's also Fe could be Fe, so it could be the Fe Foundation, but it's not. It's the what?
It's the Fe Foundation, which means future entrepreneurs, or in Espanol, futuros empresarios.
Okay. No empresarios futuros. Futuros empresarios.
That is correct.
You could do it either way, huh?
Either way.
I love it. And so how did this all come about? The Fay Foundation, is that an organization under another umbrella?
At this time, the Fay Foundation is its own organization. It's a 501c3 charity. Charter under the laws of the state of Pennsylvania and the federal government. The mission of the foundation is to increase the rates of educational, economical, and social success of primarily Latino students and inspire future leaders. This organization organizes and runs our FE program. FE program is the banner, the flagship activity of the FE Foundation. Actually, the FE program precedes the creation of the foundation. The FE program started in 2009, and at the time, it was organized by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. It was a couple of years later that the FE Foundation took over the running of the FE program. And the reason was that when we started the program, we had no experience in many things that, of course, today we know. And we wanted to separate the activities of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce from the activities of the FE program that were very discreet, very separate.
Let me just interrupt a second to mention, I believe that many of our listeners probably don't know there was such a thing as the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
That is correct. This is an organization that was created in 2003, long before I became involved with it. In at the end of 2008, I got involved with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and one of the projects that I came upon was the FE program. Somebody had thought of it and wrote an outline of it, but it was never put into action. So it really piqued my interest, and I decided to give it a try, along with some other volunteers in the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And so we started the program in 2009.
Is this purely a local program?
It is at this time.
Right. Do you talk with other chambers of commerce, Hispanic chambers of commerce, or other places, and this could possibly
spread? They do have different things. They have scholarship programs, and they have a I would say, a mini program similar to what we do. But ours is indeed unique because it combines two major elements. And those are an academic session in which the students undergo training in life skills and entrepreneurial training. And that's for 1 week, as we have the program today. And then a second part that is a part of internships. And that is 4 weeks. And those internships are with local companies, corporations, and other organizations. The program of internships is really unique. And the reason I say that is because corporations are very familiar with internships, generally for college students. But they are not inclined to offer internships to high school students for many reasons. So we've been able to persuade those corporate partners to help us to provide our students, our youth, with an opportunity to explore the real job market out there. And this will help them make decisions for the future. Most importantly, we want our students, our high school students, to complete their high school. Lehigh Valley, unfortunately, has a very high dropout rate in high school for Latino students specifically. And there are some schools that are facing that program.
Yes,
as
exactly.
We speak.
Right. It comes up in the news every now and then. So we're talking this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse about the FEI Foundation. It's for young people, high schoolers, to learn something about entrepreneurship. Carla, let me ask you. This is Carla Quintanilla, a student at Parkland High School. What you have been able to get? Well, let's talk about your family first. What's the family background?
Well, we were born in Mexico. I was born in Mexico as well. My mom and dad, and I have a little sister. And due to my dad's job, we immigrated to the U.S., to Massachusetts primarily first. And we stayed there for 4 years, and we're recently new to Pennsylvania. Last year, we moved.
What kind of work does your father do?
My dad is an electrical engineer.
So kind of similar to El Señor Diaz,
uh-huh.
An engineer. And what's your little sister's name?
Valeria.
Valeria, we give a shout out to you. And she's how much younger than you are?
She is in sixth grade now. She's 12 years old.
All right. Very good. So she's bringing up the rear as far as the family, the two daughters. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you are going to be a senior at Parkland High School.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about your experiences with the FEI Foundation?
I think it was an unexpected opportunity that I took, and it was, like, magical. I think that it gave me a taste of the college life and the opportunities that are out there that I had no idea. Like Alvaro mentioned, like, internships for even for college, I did not know that we could do internships in college. And, you know, little did I know that I could have the opportunity as a high school student to do an internship at PPL. That's what where I interned at.
Why do you say that it gave you a taste of college life?
Oh, because I got to spend a week at DeSales University taking the business courses.
You got to stay in the dorm?
Yeah, I did.
All right. That's part of it.
Yeah.
How about the food?
It was good.
Yep.
I think I gained my freshman 10 during that week.
All right. Well, they'll be glad to know over at DeSales in the food department.
Yes.
Hey, you're doing
Shout
a good
out.
Job over there. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that was 1 week that you were on the campus of DeSales.
Correct.
And Maximo de la Cruz.
Yes.
You are headed off to Princeton University at this point.
Yes.
Did you have exactly the same experience as Carla? As far, were you at the sales at the same time?
I did the program a year earlier than she did, but I had a very similar experience. It was my first time at a college campus for
right.
a week.
And how about your family background?
My family's from the Dominican Republic, but I was born in the Bronx, New York. But then I immigrated back for 2 years and then came back over here. And then we stayed in New York for 10 years, and then at the age of 10, we came to Allentown, Pennsylvania, where we've been living ever since.
All right. So being from the Dominican Republic, you have to be a huge baseball fan.
Surprisingly, I'm not.
All right.
Yeah.
And you lived in the Bronx.
Yes.
I really hate to ask you this next question. If your family's rooting for a team, it wouldn't be the Yankees, would it?
It is, actually.
A stab right in the heart. Okay. Well, we all have our sins. I can tell your family. So, Maximo, you were at the sales a year before Carla was.
Yes.
So 1 week there, mm-hmm. living in the dorm, having a little bit of a college experience.
Yes.
All right. And what's the other segment of this? You have a week at the sales, and then there's something else that comes along.
The month-long internship.
And does that follow your experience at the sales?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the week after.
The week after. So it's all a summer that you're doing.
Yes, this is during the summer, yeah. Okay.
And so this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, we're exploring this interesting initiative of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which is called the Fay Foundation. And we have one of the founders of this organ, let's say one of the principal movers at the beginning, and that's Alvaro Diaz, who is with us. He is originally from Colombia and worked his way all the way over to Rhode Island to do his master's degrees in engineering. And we're fortunate enough to have landed him here in the Lehigh Valley. And I'm also speaking with Carla Quintanilla from Parkland High School and Maximo de la Cruz, just having graduated from DIRF. Congratulations, Maximo, on your completion of your secondary studies. It's time for us to take a break. So stay with us as we continue to explore this really interesting topic, and we're going to talk more in just a moment about the Fay Foundation.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, and at the board, working for us very hard over there, is Elizabeth Parcells, doing her usual excellent job. Since 2009, the Fay Foundation has been delivering educational and community development programs of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of the Lehigh Valley. The foundation's leading program, Futuros Empresarios, and that's where we get Fay, F-E, has been bringing together students, university faculties, and local businesses and organizations in an attempt to introduce comprehensive life skills and entrepreneurial training to high school students of the Lehigh Valley. The Futuros Empresarios Program, or FE, is a two-part summer initiative consisting of an academic session, and we've talked about that in our first segment, and an internship program for high school students in 10th or 11th grade. We have two of the high school students who have benefited from this program, the Fay Foundation program, Carla Quintanilla from Parkland High School and Maximo de la Cruz from Dieruff High School. And since we're mentioning these two schools here in the Lehigh Valley, let's just congratulate both schools on the Freddie Awards, which came up in May as the final presentation of all the awards. But each of these schools had 16 nominations.
Yes.
And you were the top. You're the top two as far as number of nominations was concerned. So congrats on that. Maximo, I think you participated, didn't you, in the show?
I did not. Carla did.
Oh, Carla did.
I did, yes.
Carla participated in the...
Titanic.
The Titanic.
Yes.
Right. And was that a fun experience?
Oh, my gosh. It was an incredible experience. You know, because it's hard to get into the shows, you know, at Parkland. It's competitive. You really have to be prepared. But I auditioned, and being new in the high school, since I mentioned I moved a year ago, the first time I auditioned, so as a sophomore, I did not get in, and which was the year we did Into the Woods. The year after, which was my last year, junior year, I auditioned. I prepared enough that I made it. And it was a great experience. Everything that I learned, I got to meet new friends, and they take it very seriously, which makes, you know, the students improve a lot. I improved a lot on my vocal singing and my acting, and the overall production was amazing.
And it's a wonderful group experience, too. It's
right.
Like being part of an orchestra or a band or an athletic team. You get together and... I don't even want to ask you about how many tears flowed at the cast party.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, especially the seniors. There were a lot of seniors this year, and that would be me this year coming up,
yes.
2017. That's
and
my last prediction.
You don't know yet what the show is going to be.
We do not. No. We find out soon, though.
A little bit early. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for Maximo, Dieruff won the whole ball of wax in 2015.
Yes.
And a wonderful production of...
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Yeah.
Right, In the Heights. I also saw a wonderful production of theirs of Chicago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
A couple of years ago. Was it 3 years ago?
I think it was two, yeah.
Two years ago. Yeah. And they're doing some wonderful theater work at these two schools, obviously. So back to our subject of the Fay Foundation... Alvaro, you were saying something off the air that I wanted you to come back and tell us about the objectives of the Fay Foundation.
Well, we are really interested in making sure that our youth, first of all, that they complete high school. The Lehigh Valley, and especially the city of Allentown, has a very high Latino dropout rate. And that is very worrisome, because at the very least, students, when they should have, at the very, very least, a high school degree. But we are interested that they complete their high school, they get a high school diploma, and then they move on to other horizons that they consider going to college or a trade or professional school. Our program will at least give them a taste of what's going on out there in the area of businesses, so that they, Latinos seem to have these entrepreneurial skills, entrepreneurial spirit rather, and we want them that if they are not going to a post-high school education, and if they are interested in opening their own business, there are resources out there that they can use.
And the program has been going since 2009. You have have you counted up how many students through the program at this point?
We have a little bit shy of 200 students that have participated in the formal FAY program. Because there are a couple of other offshoots that we carry as a foundation. We have a program of SAT prep in math and verbal skills that we do in the fall, and we also have textbook scholarships that we award to our graduates, high school graduates that are going on to college. That we do it roughly around the summer when they have received their letters of acceptance.
Carla and Maximo, did either of you participate in the program for SAT preparation?
I did.
With
yeah.
Faye Foundation.
And it was very helpful. My SAT scores definitely went up.
So let's get back to this, the training itself that you get with the Faye Foundation as far as the academic part, which is 1 week at DeSales University. What do you actually do during the day, Maximo? What does the day look like if we go and follow you around?
Okay, so a typical day during that week, we would wake up, eat breakfast, and we would have like an hour-long class of just like typical like business and entrepreneurial skills. The biggest thing I learned there during my week was how to build a resume. That was very, very, very helpful then and now and for the rest of my life. So, yeah, and we also learned about business cycles, recessions, and just other neat, useful skills that I think every person should know.
So you have 1 hour of that and then get a recess?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do go to...
Then what happens?
Yeah, so we go to lunch after that, and we also have, at least in my year, we had to do a business plan. So the first hour of classes, which they would introduce, you know, the business field, very basic, they would tell us, hey, so they put us into groups, and we had to build up a business plan of whatever we wanted to do. We did a hotel. So that's what we would do in the evening, and then we would have field trips almost every day, which we really enjoyed because then we got to hang with our groups or with the people we met there.
How many people would be in the group where you were making the plan?
For the business plan, I think we're around four or five people. So they were around like five groups of four or five people.
And what were the field trips like, Maxine?
We went to a baseball game, Iron Pigs game, one day.
All right. And did you go?
Yes.
Did you stay for all nine innings?
Yes.
Well, I congratulate you because you're not a baseball fan.
That's very true.
That's the I think that's the toughest sport. Alvaro, am I off base here, to use a baseball term?
No, you are not off base. You're right there at the bat.
There you go. That's the reason I invited Alvaro Diaz to be on the air today, because he backs me up every time. So you went to an Iron Pigs game.
Yes.
And others?
Yeah, so we also went to the movies one night. We went to bowling. We went bowling. What else did we do?
All right, so some social
dinner,
activities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it was always you were with your group of...
No, we were with everybody.
All right,
so
and everybody means a group of about
the group
how many?
Of every yeah, all the members that year.
How many would that be?
It's around 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty selective.
And so you would have this socialization that you did besides your academic work.
Yeah.
And my guess is that you would talk a little bit about your entrepreneurship learning,
yeah,
even when you're with the buddies going bowling or
Yeah.
Or
we
at
would
the baseball
talk about
game.
What we were doing for our business plan, yeah, and how it was going, how they were finding the classes. Some people were like, yeah, oh, you know, like it's crazy that this is how college is going to be, you know, waking up early, having to be like in the long lectures. Normally in high school, the classes are a little bit shorter.
No mother to wake you up.
That too, we have to put an alarm. Yeah. Alarm, make sure to stay on task.
Yeah. These are all learning experiences for sure.
Yeah.
And pointing you toward the future, which is a great thing. The other part of your academic of your experience, though, besides the academic part at DeSales University, and so Alvaro, right from the beginning, you established a relationship with DeSales to enter into
correct.
This program.
Yes, we are really fortunate that DeSales University has opened the doors for our students for our program. And they collaborate with us in any possible way, not only by allowing us the use of their facilities, but also and their instructors, but also they provide counselors for the students. And these are college students that stay over during the summer and serve as counselors for our kids. So we are very, very grateful to DeSales University.
That's a wonderful partnership.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke about theater at the high school level a couple of minutes ago. How about some plays out at DeSales? They do a wonderful theater.
Yeah,
did you see any of that during that week?
I haven't yet seen any. My mom recently went to see one. I think, I don't remember the name of it, but she said it was amazing.
It is. Wonderful theater. Yeah. When you get a chance, do that. And this is for all of our listeners out there. Mm-hmm. If you have not been to DeSales University for theater, you're missing a really good thing. And then the other part, besides the academic part at DeSales University, was the internship. What can you tell us, Maximo, about what you particularly did with your internship?
Well, I got partnered with Air Products, and that's a month-long thing. And so it was really interesting because I wasn't just in one department. I got to job shadow all different departments and all different types of people.
Did you have somebody who sort of was your shepherd around to the different departments?
Yeah, shout out to Miguel Sanchez. He used to work in the IT department. Yeah,
good.
Cool guy.
And what basically would you say you learned about the business world from that internship?
Just networking in particular. I learned the importance of that and to tour so many like different aspects of a business. I never knew, like Air Products, for example, I just thought they made chemicals. I didn't know how diverse a corporation could really be in all the different aspects. I would never think about accountants, business people, IT, and a company that makes chemicals.
Right. So. Yeah, well, one thing that surprises me about companies, too, why I don't think about this either, is the team of lawyers that they employ just for that one company,
mm-hmm.
right? And so looking at all these legal aspects and, pitfalls that they can get into and watching out for doing their thing the right way and so on. It's mm-hmm. it's amazing. And Carla, how about your internship?
Yeah, I did an internship at PPL Building. And like Maximo, I was visiting every department, which I had no idea that, you know, PPL, I was just thinking like electrical engineering and mechanical. But, you know, there is people who do hire people, and there are so many types of job in just one corporation, you know, that I would have never imagined. And, you know, that's something that will now be on my resume, that, you know, many high school students don't have that opportunity. And the fact that I had it, I'm very grateful for it through the Faye Foundation.
That's great stuff. When I was in college, we had obligatory ROTC. Because I started off at Michigan State University, and that was a land-grant college. And so for all the men, this is discriminatory here, Carla, for the men, 2 years of ROTC. And so you had a choice between Air Force and Army. Now, the great majority went to Army, and one of the captains in our program told us, he said, "Men, not all that is blue flies." Meaning that we all thought, well, if you're going to the Air Force, you're going to be a pilot, naturally.
Yeah.
And so you have all the support network that's working behind the scenes. It's like theater.
Yeah.
Where you don't see the tip of the iceberg. Even if we're not talking Titanic, huh? You just see the tip of it.
Yeah.
Because you have all these people working on the scenery and the props and getting the program together and getting the bios. And it's just an enormous undertaking.
Yeah.
And so you're saying the same things about Air Products and about PPL.
Right.
And I think, Alberto, it's terrific that you got two of our major companies in the Lehigh Valley to buy into this program of yours.
Yes, indeed. We are very fortunate to be supported by these, they are Fortune 500 companies. The two Fortune 500 companies in the Valley supporting our program for quite a few years now. But there are also a lot of other organizations that support us, particularly the Good Shepherd Hospital, the Sacred Heart Hospital. And these are good organizations as a training ground for future nurses or students that are interested in the health professions. But there are, again, smaller organizations that help us here in the Valley that are not in the same league as far as size of these two organizations that you just mentioned. There are a few other ones that allow us the opportunity to have one student as an intern. And they may not be as diversified in the number of departments, but because of their size. But nevertheless, our students learn valuable, they get valuable tools, and most importantly, they work with a mentor that they will emulate. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes, good stuff. You have large companies and you have small companies buying into this program and providing opportunities for internships for students. The word internship, I've heard also the term, this was for a program in culinary arts, externship, where a student goes from where he is out there. I think it's a more appropriate term than internship.
I think so.
Yeah.
Externship. You know, you're going out into the world a little bit to
yeah.
see and get your toe into the water and, yeah. and find out what the business world is about. Because when we don't do that, we have lots of stereotypes about different kinds of work. And even though you might think that Elizabeth Parcells' work at the board is totally a glorious thing and pizzazzy, she's smiling now because she knows the truth about this. But we love it, don't we, Elizabeth? That's the reason we're here. I'm John Pierce. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. It's time for us to take another break, and we will be back in just a moment, and we'll talk about what in the world is entrepreneurship. Stay with us.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
WDIY offers classical music 6 days a week, including Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, Sunday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., and Sunday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. WDIY Classics covers all eras from medieval and baroque, romantic to modern. Listen for birthday tributes to composers, interviews with local artists and conductors, and the classical events calendar each week. For more information, visit our website, wdiy.org.
Our guests this evening are Carla Quintanilla from Parkland High School and Maximo de la Cruz, recently of DIRF and going to Princeton University this fall. And they have participated in the program called the Fay Foundation. We also have a leader in that program, Alvaro Diaz, with us. Well, let's get into entrepreneurship. It is the process of designing, launching, and running a new business. That is a startup company offering a product, process, or service. It has been defined as the capacity and willingness to develop, organize, and manage a business venture, along with any of its risks in order to make a profit. And then we'll get into who the entrepreneur is a little bit later. Alvaro, I'm a little puzzled about the internships into big companies when it seems to me that an entrepreneur is somebody who starts out small because he's creating something, and he might have a few people around and a few employees at the beginning, and then maybe it grows into something really big. But for the students to go to PPL or to a large hospital or to Air Products, to me, doesn't sound like entrepreneurship. What say you?
Well, you're correct. It doesn't sound. But in the real world, you go to Rome through many different highways. Okay.
Yes.
And the internships provide our students with a very basic glimpse into the real world of work, of business, of a way to produce a product, an article. Our students get, even if you are going to be a doctor, or if you're going to be an engineer, or if you're going to be a carpenter, you have to start thinking as an entrepreneur. If you're a doctor, you have patients. If you are a carpenter, you have customers that require your services, your products or services. And then you have to have an understanding of what a bank account is, why you have to have a good credit report. And there are some very basic tools and skills that you have to acquire to be successful as a doctor or as a carpenter, in the example that I just provided. So an internship in a big company or a big hospital provide our students with a very, very basic, I would say, rung number one in this big ladder that is going to take them to realize their dreams. The students hopefully will learn through interaction with other employees and the guidance of their mentors one important thing, and that is responsibility at work. You have to show up on time. You have to observe certain rules in the workplace, and so on and so forth. And that's very basic. Everybody should learn those things, whether you're going to be an entrepreneur in the future or not.
Okay, good. Do you consider yourself an entrepreneur? You've worked for big companies or medium-sized companies, correct?
Yes, indeed. I do in many ways, because I became a consultant after my work with a couple of large organizations. I became a consultant, which means that I was running my own business. So it was now my own dime that I had to produce, and expenses and income. They have a very important role in anybody's life as an entrepreneur. So the answer is yes. I still do look for projects and things in which I can use my background and experience and, move forward.
I would guess that experience of yours of going from being an employee in a company where you're getting a check every month, and so in that way you're not risking, right? And I think risk is a big part of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You're going from that to being a consultant and therefore having to run your own business, perhaps played a role in your being interested in the Faye Foundation and in emphasis on entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that, but there is also another factor, John, and that has to do with my desire to help my community. It's not only the fact that I had a background that could be put to use in this organization, but also a driving force for me was the opportunity to give back. That to me is very important, and I want our students to consider that. They benefited from participating in this program. Well, I look forward to the day that when they attain their professional goals, that they also give back to the community that made them successful.
Yeah, that's a great message to give young people. And you certainly have shown that. We know that example is more important than precept, and you have given the example as well as the precept as far as giving back to the community. So the entrepreneur is a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. Rather than working as an employee, an entrepreneur runs a small business, assumes all the risk and reward of a given business venture, idea, good, or service offered for sale. Carla and Maximo, can you imagine yourselves definitely wanting to be entrepreneurs in the sense of starting a business rather than fitting into an organization that already exists? Can you, at your young age, can you even get a handle on that? Maximo?
Believe it or not, I already consider myself an entrepreneur. I don't see it as just starting a business. I see it as just having innovative ideas. So even if, let's say, you work in a large company, you can still be an entrepreneur in the sense that you make a process more efficient or faster. You came up with that idea, you see. It just goes hand in hand with leadership. I don't think there's just one leader. I think everybody can be a leader the same way everybody can be an entrepreneur. So,
Alvaro, that's very well said.
It is,
yes,
indeed.
Yes. And Carla?
Yeah, I believe the same thing. I think that we have nothing to lose. Like you said, like risk. You know, no matter what you do or where you go, it's not going to be a straight path. So if you want to go for it and be a leader, an entrepreneur, I think that it's worth a try. You know, you might succeed. There's plenty of people who have made innovative things like Apple products and stuff like that. You might have a chance to innovate your own idea and make it grow.
Now, we think of perhaps the rosy side of business with entrepreneurship, all that whoever started this company and made it grow, wow, what a great success story. You know, there are many more failures out there than successes. Did they talk to you about that in your course during the summer?
I don't know
if
they talked to us, but I know I've watched, you know.
There's a story about H.L. Hunt, the oil magnate from Texas, who they say drilled 99 dry holes before he hit the one that was a gusher. So my question is really to myself, how many of those holes after I had hit 10 dry ones, 30 dry ones, 60 dry ones, would I have given up and said, this is just not work. This is not worth it. I have to do something different.
The key is to keep going, you know, like if you really want it and you're passionate about it, nothing's going to stop you.
The most important thing, would you say, Alvaro, is do what you love to do.
That's correct.
And what you are pushed to do, what there's something inside you. It's like singers having to sing, actors having to act. There's something, there's an impulse within us that makes us want to do that. And so if you're in business and you're providing a product or a service that you truly believe in, then it's going to be a much easier path for you.
One of the aspects of the program that I enjoy the most is on the last day of the academic session at DeSales University, when the students present to their peers and instructors and members of the Board of Trustees of the FAIR Foundation, their projects. Carla was alluding to the fact that they are divided into groups when they are at that academic session. And each group composed of five, let's say, if you have 30 students participating in the program, so you will have probably five groups of six or six groups of five. And each one of those groups is assigned a project. And the project may be crafting a business plan, as she mentioned, or it could be a marketing plan. And each group works independently. They do research, and then they present those the final product. And it's fascinating to see the final product. You know, these students, they talk with such confidence of what earnings before taxes is, you know, and the various aspects of the fictitious business that they have created, and the various positions in the group. One of them is the president. There is another one who is the director of finance, and they describe what they are doing in their own fictitious companies. This is really fascinating because in a week, these students gain so much knowledge of business that, to me, it blows my mind. And then all these productions, all these presentations are fantastic. But as the beauty pageants, we have to select two that we highlight in our graduation ceremony. And I tell you, invariably, everybody attending at the graduation ceremony is really surprised, I would say, very pleasantly surprised to see the progress that these students have made during that week and during the internship session.
Is that ceremony held at the Sales University?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
We typically have it at the Sales. We hope that there is no conflict with their schedule there for the room.
For the summertime.
The summertime. But we've had it also at your older stomping grounds there, Muhlenberg College.
All right. A shout out to the Berg. All right. Very good. The Fay Foundation. Student demographics, over 30 mostly Latino students from public and charter schools in the Lehigh Valley, and they are students from 10th and 11th grade. So Alvaro Diaz, one of the leaders of this program, you are going to begin now looking toward the year 2016-17, going to start to look at students who might participate in this program. Does that happen in the summertime?
Well, they are already selected or pre-selected at this time.
You're way ahead of me.
So this is we have to start early. Actually, we begin the process in the fall of the preceding year. We visit a team of Fair Foundation individuals, visit some of the high schools in the area because we work Lehigh Valley-wide. So we have students from the eastern area all the way to the western fringes of the Lehigh Valley. We work with maybe 12, 13 high schools in the area, basically public and charter schools. But we begin in the fall. We visit some schools, and we bring the program to students in the Latin Club or the International Club, an organization at the school that may be related to the target group that we are looking for. Primarily Latinos, but we accept students of other ethnicities as well. And then the students go to they receive some preliminary information, and then in the following year, in the winter, in February, around that time, we have some orientation sessions. We have a couple of them. So the students that are interested in participating in the program, they come and they hear once again what the program is all about. They have the opportunity to ask questions. They come with the parents and all of that. And then they apply in April. So there is a month-long application period. They fill out an application with the vital information, but they also have to write an essay answering about four questions that we present to them. And there is a letter from the school counselor that recommends the student, and we also want to know the performance, the academic performance of the student in question.
Of course.
Okay. We are targeting regular students. I mean, we would like to have top-notch students like Carla, and Maximo here, but our students are to qualify for our program. They should have at least a minimum of a 2 GPA.
A two point.
So and then in the around this time of the year, this time is May. We have already made our selection. The students go to pre-selected students. They go to an interview, personal interview, and then we have the final group that will begin in the year 2016, which is going to be our 8th year of the program. We're going to have 30 students, and the program will begin on June the 19th, Father's Day, and will continue until July the 22nd. Graduation day is July the 30th.
Very good. And Carla and Maximo, do you remember when you went to that orientation session and you knew nothing about the program? You were just curious?
Yeah.
And did you go home to your family and say, hey, this, I found a great opportunity?
Yeah, my dad went with me when I went to the informational meeting. I had no idea anything. I didn't know I was going to go into business, or I had no clue that it was something that I might have liked or anything. But we went with an open mind. And I was like, whoa, well, I mean, you know, if this is something that I don't, you know, that is, you know, it's an opportunity, then why not be prepared for it? Because I might be successful at it. And so I gave it a try and I applied, and this is where I landed.
Great. Maximo?
I went with my mother, and at first I was so confused. I had no idea what this program was about. But it turned out to be a great opportunity for me as well. I had no idea I wanted to go into the business field, but Faye really gave me, sparked my interest in business. So,
well, this brings an end to our little discussion here on Lehigh Valley Discourse about the Faye Foundation. And I thank my guests, Alvaro Diaz, who is president of the Faye Foundation, and two of his students who have actually survived this experience. Alvaro, is that too harsh a term? You have prospered with this experience,
yeah,
right? And have gained a lot from the Faye Foundation activities that you have had during the past year. Carla Quintanilla, who is a student at Parkland High School, and Maximo de la Cruz, who graduated from Dearruff and is now headed toward Princeton University. Thank you, listeners, for listening, and thanks to Elizabeth Parcells doing our board work for us today. I'm John Pierce, reminding you to remember to be gentle with your neighbor.